on mute.
Praise the Lord. Mic one. All right, praise the Lord. Now you see why we use mic one. How about we worship the Lord today? Let's do that. Let's praise him. Lord, we praise you. We worship you. Come on, let's do it right now. Come on, won't you do it right now? Do it like he died for you. Do it like he rose again. Oh, Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's right. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, if you've been born again, go ahead and rejoice. If you've been set free from your sins, go ahead and rejoice. If the Lord has delivered you from shackles of addiction, go ahead and rejoice. We praise you, Jesus. We honor you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Look, I'm not in that grave anymore. Praise the Lord. But the Lord has set me free. The Lord has delivered me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No wonder I dance a little bit. Hallelujah. And I shout a little bit. Praise God, I rejoice a little bit. And it's all right just to leap for joy, run with a shout. Hallelujah, when it's praise unto the Lord for what he has done. He's been too good for me to stay silent. He's been too good for me to stay quiet. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Oh, hallelujah. Under the shadow of the cross and the shadow of that rock that was rolled away. Oh, I can't help but to praise him. I can't help but to worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I feel impressed as you head in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you can, remain standing for the reading of the word. But I feel impressed just to say today that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And today we're here rejoicing and celebrating the fact that Jesus loves us. Hallelujah. Jesus loves us. Why don't you look to somebody next to you and tell them, Jesus loves you. And if it's not awkward, tell them, and so do I. Some of you married couples had a hard time getting that out. Praise the Lord. Look, I just broke the ice for you. You're welcome. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Wonderful to have our guests with us today. God bless you. Hey, man, good to have you here with us. Praise the Lord. Wonderful to have you and your family with us. And my friend over here, God bless you. I believe this is your first time here. If not, it's wonderful to have you here today. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. I do want to also say, if it's your first time coming or if you've been coming for a little while and you've not attended our Discover Purpose membership class, it's just a quick 20-minute class after service. What it's meant to do is help to acclimate you into the body of Christ, just to get you familiar with myself and my wife. It's an open forum, so we just try to allow, if you have questions about the church, Maybe you have questions about what we believe in, where we came from, things like that. We encourage those questions. It's an opportunity, really, for you to ask the questions that maybe you don't otherwise get to ask, for you to talk to pastor and get my ear, where sometimes, and my focused ear, where sometimes after service or before service, I'm running around doing different stuff, greeting people. So it's an opportunity for you just to get to know myself and some of our leaders and things like that. And it's just a blessing. If you have graduated the Discover Purpose Module 1, won't you raise your hand? I think it's a majority of the people here, so you can see it's something that we take a lot of pride in. It is a 4-week course. But of course, you don't have to commit to that. Even just today, may be able to answer your questions. But if you can continue to come, it's just really great information, each lesson and stuff that we've really honed down to help give you the tools to be an effective Christian. That's the idea. And it is the bare minimum, right? So it goes way further than just 4 weeks of 20-minute class. But we just want to give you the bare essentials for you to become successful in the church and to get acclimated in. I believe that we shouldn't just go to church. We should be the church, right? And often we say that kind of off the cuff. I know you're standing. It's all right. I'll be standing the rest of the service. So just give me one moment, all right? But praise the Lord. We often say that off the cuff. You know, the word church, it comes from the word iglesia, which literally means a gathering of people. I know you hear it all the time. We don't go to church. We are the church. You literally can't be the church unless you're gathered together with people. And I recognize that in a spiritual way, we could be gathered in together or, you know, in a way of belief system. But I believe the best way to put that word into action is gathering together. You can feel when, you know, 15 kids start running around the building and get you a little bit more excited than just sitting at home looking at a fireplace, right, and praying. And listen, the prayer room is important. There's a place for that. Man, I've got myself in a hole here. Now I'm trying to dig myself out. But we know that there's a place for both of that. But just saying it's a blessing to join together with one mind, in one accord, in one place to do a work for God. Listen, I believe the best way for you to put your higher purpose in action is joining together with a church to shared vision. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that anybody in particular, just saying that's the reason why we do Discover Purpose is because we want you to join with the church and find your place at higher purpose. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Everybody say gospel. Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. That phrase, wherein ye stand, it means in the thing that establishes you. The gospel is the thing that establishes us into the church and into the body of Christ. Thank God for the gospel. Amen. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved. The gospel isn't just essential for grounding and establishing in the church, but it is essential for eternal life. By which also we are saved today because of the gospel. Everybody say, I'm saved because of the gospel. If, everybody say if, ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. That's right there is the entire purpose of Easter and Resurrection Sunday. Lest we ever forget what the Lord has done for us. Oh, Jesus. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received. This didn't come to me and then stop. It wasn't my own thoughts, but somebody gave it to me, and I passed it on to you. Don't you know the gospel is meant to be mobile? It's not meant to stay in one spot. I got it. I passed it on to you. I passed it on to my kids. I passed it on to my neighbors, praise the Lord. Anybody with an ear to hear, let them hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received. Number one, what is the gospel? How that Christ died. Everybody say Christ died. For our sins, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. Everybody say buried. And that he rose again. Everybody say rose again. The third day according to the scriptures. What we just read here is Paul's giving an explanation, a definition of what the gospel is. Hallelujah. What is the gospel? Somebody tell me. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know you've heard it a million times. You're going to hear it again today. It's Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. How about we talk about the gospel? How about we just worship in the gospel? How about we take a moment just to recognize, to remember what the Lord has done? Oh, let's worship him. Let's thank him for the gospel. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. What is Easter all about? It's not about eggs, though I know that's some silly tradition that we continue on. It's not about bunny rabbits. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is about the gospel. The gospel, that word literally means good news. Anybody know the good news today? Or the good message. Oh, Jesus. It just feels good in this house today, don't it? I tell you, whenever you start talking about Jesus, it just feels good. The gospel is the good news. Praise God. The good message. What is the good news or the good message? Of course, we know that it is the good news of Jesus Christ. But there's really two different perspectives the Bible takes on the gospel. It is often defined in different ways. It isn't honed down to just a person, but the two ways is the gospel is a person. Everybody say the gospel is a person. But also the gospel is a proposition. Everybody say a proposition. I won't make you say the whole thing. You'll spit on your neighbor. Praise God. The gospel is a person. And it's also a proposition. It's not meant to be just a story. It's meant to be a message to everyone of every nation that they can be set free by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So let's talk about the gospel as a person. The gospel as a person. Who is the person of the gospel? Jesus, man, that was an easy one, but that's all right. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Everybody say Word. I don't have time today to break down that word, but it is an important word. What it means is the cosmic plan. In the beginning, praise the Lord, there was a cosmic plan. He did not create the earth just to see what would happen, but he created the earth with a plan. Everybody said he had a plan. In the beginning was the Word, and that Word was with God. But listen, that Word was so dear and so important that that Word was God. Hallelujah. It became his identity. It became what he was known for. The same was in the beginning with God, and because of that word, that cosmic plan, that ultimate story, all things were made by him. By whom? It is the word. In this situation, the word has taken on a persona which we would call the gospel. And without that man or that word, the gospel was not anything made that was made. The only reason he created the earth was because of the word. The only reason he created the animals was because of the word. The only reason he created Adam and Eve was because of the word. And in the word was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Okay? So the word of God was God. It was from the beginning. It was the reason and the purpose of the entire universe being created. What does that mean for you and for me? Let me tell you, it wasn't just a plan. A plan written down on paper is nothing but black and white ink. But it became a person. For John chapter 1 verse 14, it says, and the word, everybody say word, was made flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is the word? What is the gospel? It is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The word became flesh. It became a person. The gospel, the good news, became a person. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we're here to talk about Jesus Christ. He is the message of the church. He is the message of the New Testament, and today he is the good news of what the Lord has prepared for you and for me. A message needs a messenger, and the news needs a reporter. It is interesting to me that word, the gospel. The word gospel in the Greek, it means, it's pronounced euangelion, euangelion. It is a word which, again, we've already established means the good news. Everybody say good news. But the good news needs a reporter. The good message, a good message needs a messenger. I find it interesting that right smack dab in the middle of that word. Anybody see another word in the middle of that? Shout it out if you see it. Angel. Lion, that one's good too. Praise God. But right smack dab in the middle of this word is angel. This is the transliteration. It's also has its connection and roots in the word angel. The word angel means where The gospel means the good news or the good message. The word angel means messenger. Hallelujah. And it was first the angel which declared unto Mary that she was with child and that she would bring forth a son, and ye shall call his name what? Jesus, hallelujah. It was the angel that declared unto Joseph that his wife would bear a child, not his wife yet, but soon to be wife, would bear a child, and they should call his name Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. What was the angel doing? The angel was declaring the beginning of the gospel, hallelujah. And then the angel stood up in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10 before a group of shepherds and told them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." What is that? It is the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, anybody thankful for that good news today? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude in the heavens, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will." Everybody say good will toward men. Come on, we're talking about the good news. We're talking about the gospel. How many right now could stand to your feet and begin to praise the Lord and say the good news, good will, good tidings, it's here. Praise the Lord. This is mic 2. We've gone down mic 1, mic 3. Now we're on mic 2. You might have to turn me down a bit. Hallelujah. Oh, this is good news. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the good news. For the Bible says that good tidings of great joy. I know today you watch the news. There's nothing but negativity and destruction. There's not a message of peace. Anybody pretty upset right now about the news and everything we're seeing and witnessing? Anybody able to recognize and say, we need some good news in this hour? We need some good news. Hey, here's the good news. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus was buried. And Jesus rose again on the third day. I know there's a lot of negativity out there, but look, in here, we're just talking about the good tidings of great joy. Somebody needs to just get happy in this place and say, yes, I got a Savior that died for me. How could I remain upset or angry? I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've got peace which passeth all understanding. Why is that? Because I got the good tidings of great joy. And the message of the gospel, it is the goodwill toward men. Jesus wants the best for you. Everybody say, he wants the best for me. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for your life. He wants the best for your family. That's why he did all that he did. And I love it. Hallelujah. I love reading the Gospels. Hallelujah. The four books, first books of the New Testament, because it's all about Jesus and the life of Jesus. Oh, he is the good news to a woman with five husbands. That's a woman you'd expect probably would not have good tidings or goodwill. But when Jesus came on the scene, he had goodwill toward her. He did not shame her or condemn her, but he established the truth to her. I think about all the revelations he gave to that woman, hallelujah, with five husbands. All the revelations he gave to this woman who was more than likely excommunicated in the society. But he didn't come with anger or condemnation. He told her, if you would have asked of me, I would have given you living water, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Why is that? Doesn't matter if you came in here with sin. He's got a good will towards you. He's got good tidings for you. He's able to forgive you and cleanse you. Hallelujah. Give you great joy. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He was the good news. I'm so thankful for that woman who was caught in adultery. Hallelujah, that they didn't take her to anyone else. The only reason they took her to Jesus was because they were trying to find a reason to condemn Jesus. They were trying to find an excuse to murder Jesus. So they brought her to Jesus to see what he would do. Oh, but thank God, their arrogance led her to the feet of the only person that could help her and the only person that could save her. There was only one location to find goodwill in her situation, and that's a man writing on the ground. Oh, Jesus. For he says unto them, he without sin cast the first stone. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful. There's only one stone he ever cast. Oh, Jesus. There's only one stone he's ever cast. Now, please understand me. It wasn't not the mindset. All right. He's forgiven me. He's the good news. Now, let me go back to my old ways. But Jesus would tell her, where are thine accusers? She said, I don't know. They were right here. They're not here anymore. He says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Why is that? Because Jesus doesn't want to save you in sin. He wants to save you out of sin. Oh, praise the Lord. He's not going to save you while you're sitting in sin. He wants to help you get out. Hallelujah. True freedom and deliverance of sin is the good news of the gospel. Anybody else tired of your sins? Anybody else sick and tired of the devil's games? And you're ready for a change? And you say, Jesus, I need your deliverance. Yes, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Why would he do that? I've been nothing but bad news for Jesus. Why would he present himself with goodwill toward me? John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. Everybody say, he's so loved. means he didn't just love, he loved enough. He didn't just love, his love was enough. Everybody say his love is enough. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that means his only born son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why is that? It's because he is the good news. Hallelujah. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. It's all in him. It's all in him. Come on now, it's all in him. That's why the Bible says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't know about you. I'm just going to get a head start and start declaring him today. The good news, the good tidings with goodwill toward men. Oh, Jesus, we're talking about the gospel. Why do we need the gospel? It's because of our sin. See, this is an inescapable issue for every person here. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all, everybody say all, have sinned. That includes pastor up here. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, listen, I believe 100% that there's some good people here. That there's some people here, you are a decent citizen. You don't go around road raging. Come on, that's one of the gravest sins in our society, isn't it? Wow, I didn't know that would evoke such repentance already. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means no matter how pure or holy I think I am, I'm always going to fall short. The Bible tells us that our righteousness is as dirty rags next to his righteousness. Anybody ever had a brand new white shirt? You just bought it off the rack. You take it out. You sit it down. And it's not even thinking about it. You're doing laundry and those old white shirts that you've been wearing. You accidentally toss it on the bed next to it. And then you realize that shirt's not white at all. Next to this white shirt. Man, this is taking on a whole new color. Praise the Lord. And that's what it looks like. Oh, if we could just compare our holiness and our righteousness next to God, we would recognize my garments are just as dirty rags next to his. And no matter how good I tried to be, my sin condemns me. Everybody say, the church does not condemn me. Neither do I, your pastor, but your sin condemns you. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. That means that the payment of sin, what I owe because of my sin, is death. In these terms, it's not speaking only of physical death, though physical death did not come to the world before sin. First came sin, then came physical death. Death physically, spiritually, is a result of sin being in the world. Without sin, there would be no physical death, spiritual death, or eternal damnation. And that's what it means here. You see, even in Adam and Eve, we're confused by that word death. Certainly it is connected with the physical death. But he says, the devil says to him, you shall not surely die. When they ate of that fruit, they did not just drop down dead, did they, Brother Wilfred? No, but something did die. It was their closeness with their Savior. It was their future that died. If I may give you just a hard truth, there is no future in sin. Not in this world, and especially not in the next. Because the wages of sin is death. You can't get around it. I can't get around it. None of us can avoid it. None of us can put it on hold. For when the debtor comes, the one who would collect debt, when he comes, he'll come for all of us. There is nothing we can do about it because we are sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I want you to think about this right now. If all have sinned, everybody say all. And if the wages of sin is death, everybody say death. Then that means I can't do anything to help you. Because I've sinned. We only die once. I know we got the second death with hell, right? But physically, we only die once. I'm too busy dying for my sins because I've fallen short. But what if there was somebody who had never sinned? What if there was somebody that lived his entire life completely sinless? Then he wouldn't need to die because he'd have no debt upon his head. The only person in the entire world who didn't deserve to die made the decision to die in your place and in my place. The only person who didn't deserve the cross willingly went upon the cross. And that's why he has become our salvation. It's because he took your sin and he took my sin, a completely sinless person. And he says, it's all right. I'll pay that for you. I'll pay that for you. And he went on the cross and he died a gruesome death. It was all for you because God so loved the world. He gave his only born son unto you. Oh, somebody clap your hands. Thank the Lord today. And that's why Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift... Everybody say the gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It was his gift to die for you. It was his gift to go on the cross. It was his gift. Why? Because he's got goodwill towards you. This is the gospel. Oh, go ahead. Clap your hands. Rejoice in the Lord. And so he carried that cross down Calvary Street. I choose to believe. In fact, I believe there's scripture to support this. That every step, he had you and me on his mind. Every stripe, he thought about you. The thorns upon his head, it was simply covering the mind that was focused on you and on me. Pastor, how do you know that? Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs, and he has carried our sorrow. Can I tell you, that was not his cross to bear? That was mine. That was yours. It wasn't his grief. It was my grief. It wasn't his sorrow. It was my sorrow. He took all of the bad and he left us with nothing but the good news. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and every stripe, he took it for your healing. He took it for your peace. He took it for your redemption. Hallelujah. That's how I know he carried that cross with you on his mind. And he hung on that cross. What held him there? It wasn't those nails in his hands and in his feet. What hung him there was his love for you and I. Oh, Jesus. It was his love for you and I. And to the very last breath, he declared nothing but good tidings and good news. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's hanging on the cross because of what they did. And yet he's expressing nothing but good tidings. Goodwill. Today, if you're in this place, this is not a message of condemnation. It is a message that you don't have to die in your sins, because somebody else already did. And when he declared, Eli, Eli Lama Sabachthani, which means, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? It is because the weight of every sin in that moment was placed upon his shoulders. And at that point, that man, Jesus Christ, could feel the weight of all the world's condemnation upon him. No longer did that man feel the supernatural strength of God, because it was time for him to bear the sins in death. And so he, lifting up his head one more time, he declared, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. It was such a violent occasion that the world itself shook. Hallelujah. And the veil in the temple rent, and the dead rose again. Why is that? It's because he died for your sins and for my sins. Everybody say the gospel. The gospel is Christ died for my sins. And they took that body off of that cross. And they found a tomb nearby. One of the men already had it reserved for himself, but he decided to give it to a Savior instead. And they went and put him into that grave. I believe that the grave is symbolic, and it is an expression of what is to come. Hallelujah, for the body goes into the grave, but the soul, where does the soul go? There's three parts of man. Everybody say three parts. The body, the soul, and the spirit. When we die, the body goes into the ground. The spirit, which was the breath of God, goes back into heaven. But where does the soul go? I'll tell you, the Bible is very clear on this. The unrighteous soul, it will go to hell. The righteous soul will go to heaven. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. Hallelujah. But at that moment when Jesus died, he was no longer the righteous soul he came into the world as, for he now bore the sin and the responsibility of your sins and my sins. And you know what the Bible says? When he went into that grave, it was a symbol of him going down, for he must first, hallelujah, lower himself. He must first go down. And the Bible says he went to hell for you and for me, so that we do not have to. You hear me today, brothers and sisters? He went to hell so you don't have to go to hell. God forbid he go to hell and I still find myself in hell. No, but his love put him down in hell. Oh, but hear me, even though he went into hell, hell could not hold him. The grave could not contain him. And 3 days later, he walked out of hell with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. What does that mean? It means that now he decides who goes to hell. Not sin. He decides. That's why he unlocked the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Because he went to hell and he took the keys of hell. He stole them from the devil. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look, I know I've been going long. I'm trying to hurry. But can you just imagine the devil at that moment? He's standing there watching him on that cross. And they're all saying, "Look, we did it. This man's been a thorn in my side ever since he's come here. He's been setting people free left and right. Finally, look at him beg the Father. Finally, we've taken care of him. I can only imagine when he heard those words. It is finished. The fear that probably gripped his heart as he began to realize, wait a minute, we made a boo-boo. We thought that we were putting him down. We thought we were silencing him. We were only positioning him. Hey, maybe I'll just take a step away right now from the message and say, the devil thought he was taking you out. The devil thought he was destroying you. But maybe he was just positioning you for the goodness of Jesus. I can only imagine the devil thinking, well, at least I got him down in hell now. I can do what I want to with him. Oh, but then he realized there was something different about this man. Hallelujah. He had power to do what nobody else had ever done. Yes, there were prophets who had raised others from the grave, but this man had power within himself, not just to raise others from the grave, but to raise himself from the grave. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And the devil who thought he had dominated Jesus now realized Jesus was the victor. And he had to hand over the keys to his own house. Hey, that's the last time I invite Jesus over. Hallelujah. Because he leaves with the keys. Praise God. But thank you, Jesus. He's got all power in heaven and in earth. That's why when I call on the name of Jesus, I shall be saved. Everybody rejoice. Won't you worship the Lord? And he allowed that stone to be rolled away. Can I tell you, the cross was not enough. It was not enough. Because even though he died on the cross for your sins and my sins, he had to overcome the grave. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And listen, I'm here to give you a good news. This is the proposition of the gospel. It's the proposition. He doesn't just want to forgive your sins. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He doesn't just want to forgive your sins. He doesn't just want you to come down and repent. He wants to fill you with his Spirit. He wants you to be born again. He wants to give you new life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He wants to transform you. He wants to change you. Praise God. What good is it if he forgives your sins but doesn't give you the tools in order to overcome your sins? That's why he had to die. He had to go in the grave, but he also had to come out with eternal life and with power so that he could give you the Holy Ghost. Everybody say Holy Ghost. This is the proposition of the gospel. What is the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection. This is the process of renewal. This is the process of transformation. This is how God wants to change your life. Death, burial, and resurrection. If you can, in your Bible, go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. On that day, Peter had just finished preaching a message very similar to this. A message that Jesus is your Messiah. And because of your sins, he died. And they said to him, men and brethren, what shall we do? If we did kill off the Messiah, how do we find redemption? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Everybody say repent. And be baptized. Everybody say baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What does that mean? What does this mean? The Bible tells us that those who are saved obey the gospel. That's both in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8 and in 1 Peter 4, 17. How do you obey the gospel? If the gospel is just good news, then it doesn't sound like there's any commandment involved. Yet there is. We see, what's the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection. And we just read in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent. Repent means to kill off the old man. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Baptism is being buried. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, put your hands together for the gospel. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Anybody want new life here today? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. What is this saying? He's saying we need to go through the same process. When Jesus did it, he was giving us an example. He said, I want you, if any man should come after me, let him take up his cross. Why would you tell us to take up our cross? It's because he says in our flesh and in our sins, we cannot be saved. We must repent. We must kill off that old man. We must turn from our sins. If you can, put up that image. We must come to the burial. We must put away the sin by baptism. This is the answer of a good conscience toward the Lord. It's me saying, okay, God, I'm done with my old life. I'm turning away from my sin. Look, I've been walking toward my sin for so long. Repentance is me saying I'm turning my back towards sin and I'm walking toward the Lord. Baptism is me declaring I am done with this world and now I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus. Calling on the name of Jesus. Because when you're baptized, you're becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if we shall be buried with him by baptism into death, the same glory that raised Jesus from the grave, that rolled that stone away, that's the same glory that's going to roll away the sins, the lifestyle. And it's going to bring us into everlasting life. How about we stand to our feet today? Verse 5, Romans 6 and 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that we henceforth should not serve sin. Anybody done with sin? Anybody ready just to kill off that old man? Crucify that old man? For he that is dead, everybody say, I gotta die, is freed from sin. I don't bear the same condemnation. I don't bear the same guilt. I don't bear the same future because I'm dead. That old Aaron Meehan is gone. I've buried him by baptism. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is the gospel? It is our death. It is our burial. It is our resurrection. I don't know today if you're the woman with five husbands. I don't know today if you're the woman who's been caught in adultery. I don't know if you're that man who climbed up a tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. I don't know if you're the man by the pool of Bethesda waiting for your miracle for 37 years and yet you're still crippled. I don't know what your story is, but I know what his story is. It's the good news of the gospel. And listen, it can be your story too. The good news is for you. Everybody say, it's for me. Today, how about we all come down to this altar? Just come and stand. Just come and stand down at this altar. That's right. Thank you so much for coming. Just for a moment, hear me. This isn't condemnation today. This isn't meant to just bring shame upon you. It's meant to glorify Jesus and to recognize what he has done. Today I would like for us as a church to take time to recognize the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the reason, Brother Kavan, if you could throw up that slide, the slide of the tomb. This is the reason today we're here. It's because he died. It's because he was buried. It's because he rose again. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that makes me thankful. I'm thankful today for the good news. So why don't we right now together, how about we thank him just for a moment? Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for your death. Thank you for your burial. Thank you for your resurrection, Jesus. For I know, Lord God, through the gospel, through the death, burial, and resurrection, you've made a way that I can be saved. You've made a way that I can be made new. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving your only begotten Son. Thank you for giving the only physical life you've ever held for me on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for dying on my behalf. Thank you for dying for my sins, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, if this was a court case, Lord, and I was standing before the judge, I would be condemned for my sin. But, Lord God, the condemnation has been given, and it wasn't my death, it was your death. It wasn't that I needed to go to hell, but you went to hell for me. You died for my sins so that I don't have to. Oh, right now, why don't we allow repentance to take over in this place? Go ahead and repent. Oh, Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner. But you died for me, Lord, and I'm sorry for my sins. Jesus, without your forgiveness, I know that my fate would be eternal damnation. But Jesus, I call upon your grace. I call upon your mercy. I call upon your love. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me. Oh, that's right. Whatever you got to do to repent right now, if you got to bow down, then bow down. Hallelujah. If you got to just weep and cry. If you don't do any of that, but you're just being honest with Jesus, be honest with Jesus. I failed. I messed up. Lord, without you, I can't do it. I need your grace. I need forgiveness. Oh, Jesus. 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 Come on, if we say we have no sin, then we're sinning because we're lying. I gotta admit, I've sinned. And I can't do it without you, Jesus. I can't do it without your help. Oh, I felt the Holy Ghost just speak and say that he has cast away your accusers. Your sins are forgiven you. If you look around, you won't see him anymore. And he's asking, where are thine accusers? And you're saying, oh, I don't see them. They're not here. And he's saying unto you, neither do I accuse you. Oh, but I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to pour out the Holy Ghost. If you want the Holy Ghost in this place, I know I didn't talk much about it, but you all know enough in church. You know when the Holy Ghost comes over you. If you want it right now, why don't you lift up your hands and begin to praise the Lord? Thank you, Jesus, for resurrection. In the name of Jesus, I declare the Spirit of God God upon you. In Jesus' name, receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. That's right. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, the Lord is pouring it out today. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, oh, you can be baptized today.
Name it is the name of Jesus.